Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio. And thanks so much for listening today. Today is October 7th, 2020. It's a pleasure to have you here, I got to tell you. Old friends are here today. National Council for the Social Studies, Larry Paska, Charlie Regan from the National Council for Geographic Education. He's here, too. They've brought some special guests. One who's been with us before, Stephanie Wager, who's the president of NCSS. We got Jerry Mitchell, who's the president of the National Council for Geography Educators. And they even brought their lawyer, who happens to be the director of the American Bar Association's Division for Public Education, which I am very excited to have them on. That'll be Frank Valadez. So it's going to be a good show, so stay tuned. We're going to talk about the National Social Studies, the NCSS National Convention that's combined with the National Council of Geography Educators Conference. It's all obviously going to be virtual, and we'll talk about when and how and all that sort of stuff with a huge gang of guests, and I'll get to them in just a second. Just want to say, as you all know, we are the American Consortium for Equity in Education, American Consortium for Equity in Education for pre-K 12. If you're a pre-K 12 educator, join with us, okay, over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. If you believe in equity and want to help us find solutions along with the industry to make that happen, it's all free. Our magazine is over there, which is excellent, okay, which is Equity and Access. You'll love it. Flip through it. It's an online journal. Okay, we've got great stuff, and every podcast we do now is archived over there, over at ace-ed.org. You'll see a big icon for Education Talk Radio podcasts. We still tweet over at EduTalk Radio, and LinkedIn is at my name, Larry Jacobs, and Facebook is at my name, Larry Jacobs, and also Education Talk Radio if you want to link with us or friend with us or follow us or whatever the case may be. Okay, ace-ed.org, that's what you got to know about, ace-ed.org, and I'm clicking through here and bringing on my many, many guests, and I'm going to start. I'm going to go ladies first. The thorn, the rose amongst the thorns. Okay, Stephanie, you're there. How are you, my dear?
I am good. How right. are you? It's good to be back.
I'm fine. Welcome back. And it's a pleasure to have
Thank
you here.
Thank you.
Stephanie
Thanks
is
for
the president.
Me.
My pleasure. And Stephanie is the president, National Council of Social Studies, and she's out of Des Moines, Iowa, okay? And she doesn't report to, but she works closely with the other Larry in my world, Larry Paska, okay, who's the executive director of the National Council for the Social Studies. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Larry. How are you today?
Well, I am just fine, my friend. You going all right? Everything good for you?
Yes, things are going very well. First time I've been called a thorn, though, today, so
yeah.
That was good.
The rose amongst the thorns. Stephanie is the rose amongst the thorns. And yes, by that comparison, you are a thorn. Okay, and now let's go. I want to go to Thorn 2, Charlie Regan. Hello, Thorn 2.
Hi, how are you doing, Larry? It's good to talk to you again.
Thanks, Charlie. I'm glad you're here. He's the executive director, everybody, of the National Council for Geographic Education. Okay, and geography, more important than ever this year, we can talk about this if you want, but, geography is demographics. Okay, it's really cool stuff when you start to really get into the down and dirty of geographic education. I love it, Geography School. Charlie is the executive director of that association, and he works with this guy from Columbia, South Carolina, yet another thorn. Okay, Jerry Mitchell. Hi, Jerry. It's Larry here.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Glad to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. And you teach at USC?
Yes, I'm a professor in the Department of Geography at the University of South Carolina.
How long you been there, Jerry? That's cool.
16 years.
Wow, congratulations. That's just wonderful. Okay. You don't happen to know a fellow professor of geography down at University of Texas named Kirk Goldsberry, do you? Are you familiar with that name?
Yes. Kirk does work with mapping and visualization. He's a talented
Exactly
scholar.
Right. And he does that for the NBA. He's got a book out there called Sprawl Ball, and his dad and I are very close friends. How about that?
Very good to know.
Yeah,
so you know all about geography by talking to Kirk.
Yeah, it's cool. And he's a geography professor, okay, but he takes what he knows about demographics, applies it to where they shoot from in professional basketball. And he's worked, I think, for the Spurs or the Dallas Mavericks or something. It's really cool stuff. His name's Kirk Goldsberry. Okay? So, Jerry, it's a pleasure to have you here. Okay? Go Gamecocks. What more can I say on that? Okay?
That's right. Go Gamecocks.
There you go. All right. Frank, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Frank, welcome to the
show,
okay? I know Larry's always worried. This is the first time he's actually ever brought a lawyer with him. Are you a lawyer?
I'm not, actually.
Okay.
I just work with him every day.
There you go. Well, I bet you do. And, you know, I really would like to, okay, if you can get in touch with me, we'll get in touch with each other, because I'd like to learn more about the Division for Public Education of the American Bar Association, which I believe you run.
Well, I don't run the Bar Association, but I do run the division.
No.
Well, I direct the division.
Yeah, the division. That's what I meant. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's true. I'd be happy to talk with you anytime.
Great. I would love to go further on that because I don't know anything about that. Okay, so it would be my pleasure. So, Dr. Paskin, I'm going to ask you to please send me Frank's email. Would you do that for me, Blair?
Absolutely. Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And let's get into the nitty-gritty of today's show, everybody. And I'm going to use Larry and Charlie as my point people, okay, because we have a lot of guests. And you can filter the questions to who you think would be the best ones. And Charlie, Larry, I suggest all the hard ones I ask, shift them to the other three.
Absolutely.
Yes, we can definitely do that.
Yeah, take the easy ones for yourself. So let's start with Larry. Okay, first one, we're talking about the combined virtual conference of NCSS and NCGE. Okay, Larry, when will that be?
Oh, that's an easy question. So, it's not that easy because we're actually a pretty sprawling event. So our official conference is Friday through Sunday, December 4th through 6th. But we have many different things happening throughout that entire week. So we have, NCSS has what we call associated groups. They represent college and university faculty. They represent school and district administrators, state education personnel, scholars from around the world. So those meetings are happening throughout the week as well. And the beauty of this virtual conference as well is when you come to it, you don't have to miss a thing because after December 6th, you still can access sessions. You actually can still register for this event. I'm actually loving it as a history person, the idea that you can register for a December conference in January. If that can blow your mind, great.
Great. It's great. And I must ask, what you're going to find, I'll hear the same thing from you as I am hearing from other associations, attendance should be very strong because, of course, when a conference is, let's say it was supposed to be in Austin, it's hard for some schools to stretch the budget to send someone. Now they don't have that excuse anymore. Okay, so whole social studies departments can finally attend the conference. Whole geography departments can finally attend the conference. Larry, just break down if there are costs to registering.
Yep, registration is very simple. $175 gets you into the full conference. That gives you access to everything, all 200-plus sessions, 3 days worth of programming, our celebrated keynote speakers, and we have a wonderful speaker lineup for this year. We're very pleased that we could bring so many high-quality speakers to everyone. A virtual exhibit hall with dedicated time to meet with our special exhibitors. So again, all of that programming just from the comfort of your home. And I have to tell you, last year when we left our conference, you know, if you said to me, can you imagine hosting a national social studies conference in your living room? I would have said, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What would that look like? So we're obviously in strange times, but the fact is you get all of that programming, you know, for that very low price.
Great. Again, it's December 4th through the 6th, and I assume that they can register online, okay, at socialstudies.org. Am I correct?
Yep, socialstudies.org /conference. Please register and... Again, all this access directly on your desktop or laptop.
And let me ask you a question. There might be a no to, is there a discount if, say, they bring 10 social studies teachers from the same school? Do they get a discount? Swift that one over to Stephanie. Give that one to Steph.
Stephanie, you take that one. No, I'm just kidding. No, so this year, our pricing this year is pretty consistent. So we basically offer a general rate, and then we do have a couple of other different pricing options as well.
And it's all online, okay, on site over at the socialstudies.org. So let's swing over because the two conferences work together, okay? Steph, he didn't give you a chance to answer. I'll get back to you in a little while, okay?
That's fine.
Okay, wait for softballs. I'm going to give them to you, okay, so that he looks bad. All right, you got it?
Yep, I'm got
okay,
it.
Good, okay, all right. Okay, go ahead, Charlie. Tell me about how you guys are going to be involved at NCGE.
Well, thanks, Larry. And
you're welcome.
Well, I will tell you, similar to last year, what we're excited about, we're building on the success we had last year with the first time that we, the two organizations held their conferences and worked together. And as Larry said, you know, there are very specific presentations and sessions geared toward geography. And yet all of our geographers tend to be social studies teachers at certain grade levels, and they will have access to not only all the NCGE geography sessions, but all of the other sessions from the social studies side and the civics and ABA side as well. So really excited about that. Everyone has access to all the attendees will have access and can see all of the tremendous speakers, maybe the best lineup of speakers and presenters that we've ever had. And
we're going to talk
about
that.
The other thing that we're excited about is you know, in a normal sort of in-person conference, Larry, you can only attend so many sessions, so many education sessions, you know, because there's multiple sessions going on at any one time. You know, the beauty of what we're able to do now virtually is every session is going to be recorded. So for your attendance, when you attend the conference, you have access now to go back at your own time, at your leisure, and view all of the other sessions that you have missed or maybe interested in, but could not attend. Now they won't be live, but you can actually see them, recordations, and see the discussions. So you know that's a huge advantage, I think, that instead of being able to attend, see 15 to 20 sessions, you could. Literally
attend
see
of
hundreds of sessions.
Attend
mm-hmm.
all of
them.
By the way, I am biased here. One of those sessions at NCSS will be from my wife, okay, who works at PBS Learning Media. You know? Did you know that, Lair? Carolyn's going to quote be there.
Yeah.
So at any rate, and you know I'm an ex-social studies teacher and taught geography amongst that, I might add. So, you know, this is all great stuff. My wife Yang works for PBS Learning Media. I know most of you didn't know that. Okay, of my guests. All right, I'm going to go over to Professor Jerry. Okay, Professor Mitchell, can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
Why is geography important for kids in K-12 to learn? And besides, pointing on a map and knowing where the U.S. is as opposed to pointing to China when you're asked the question, that's fairly important. Okay, but it's also important to know where Armenia is and anything else. But my question is, why is geography so important these days?
So you're right. You did toss me the softball question. So
it's easy.
If
go
I can't
for
answer
it,
this, I'm in trouble.
Yep.
So geography. I mean, you got to get around the public perception that geography is simply maps and state capitals, that type of thing. That this is the one discipline that says take a step back and make sense of the world.
Yeah.
And we're talking about all of it. It's the human dimension, it's physical form, and let's find out a way to use the best technology available to do so. So that's mapping technology, field work, survey work. And I can tell you there's no substantive conversation right now that doesn't involve geography. If you're talking
Take
about
that.
Immigration
yeah,
or political
great.
Redistricting,
yep.
climate change, supply chains, COVID, you name it. All of that involves geography. So it's, getting our students to better understand the world, but being prepared for the world that they're walking into. That a lot of the social studies does a fantastic job telling us about how the world was. Geography puts a spotlight on how the world works right now. So it's crucially important for our students to be able to navigate that and have the content and the skills to be able to do so.
And it's a measure also for how the world will be working in the future, if I may say that. It's not just now. The theme of the NCGA side of this, thank you, Jared, by the way, that was great, is envisioning a global future, okay? And if we don't do that, we are in big trouble. All right. And that's why this is so important. And Jerry, let me ask you this. You train people to become geography teachers. You talk to your fellow professors across the country. Is K-12 putting enough emphasis on geography as a subject? Jerry.
There's a geography to that in terms of the geography of education we see in the United
Good
States
answer.
That some places are advancing considerably. We've had great success in my state of South Carolina. By putting geography back into our state standards, where now if you are in third, seventh, and ninth grade, you take geography.
Great.
We've had advances in the state of Arkansas, but other states that have pulled some geography back with a focus on, say, other areas like reading and math, then our challenge is, well, what's a backdoor way that we can make sure that spatial analysis and geography is present there? So you might be able, for a math class, for example, use census data. And enumeration and things like that. In a
Bingo.
Reading class, every novel has a setting. Setting is place. So there's ways that we can think about putting geography across the curriculum, even in places where maybe it's fallen back a little bit in the social studies. So there's successes and challenges all across the country with this right now.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm going to take it one step further. When you use geography to teach math, and I don't know about you guys, but when I was taught math, it was actually just being invented math, and they did a lousy job of teaching it, okay, because they never put it into any context, okay? But when you can see the context of mathematics, and you can see that with geography, demographics, all that sort of thing that we're talking about, supply chain economics, et cetera, that's an important factor, and one can be used to the other, and I couldn't agree with you more on all this. It's so darn important. Now, let me go back to the rose amongst the thorns, okay? The thorns, I can't say that. Steph, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Stephanie Wager is the president of NCSS. Your theme of your side of the conference, again, December 4th through the 6th, virtual plus anytime thereafter, register and go, okay, is advancing social justice, okay? And mm-hmm. my question is, gee, how did you ever come up with a theme like that in 2020? Okay? So answer away.
Yeah, I think you're teeing it up for me really well there, Barry. I think we all really are trying to be responsive to what we are seeing happening in our society. I think that's what social studies educators do. And when I think about this theme, I mean, I think of some of the questions that I heard, over the past year. The questions that we all wrestle with in social studies, like, you know, what privileges do I have that others don't? You know, how can we take action to ensure everyone has equal rights? And certainly what has happened throughout history to people like me. And then to Jerry's point about geography, thinking about, you know, the geography of sort of racial injustice and redlining and the history of those kinds of things. I mean, there's so many interdisciplinary connections with the theme of advancing social justice. So certainly wanted to be responsive to what was happening in society. And I think so many of our presenters and our keynoters will be really highlighting ways that they are trying to advance social justice.
Yeah, it is so important, and well said, Steph. I was watching last night on TV, we taped it from the other night, a new Showtime show called The Good Lord Bird, which is with Ethan Hawke, and it's the story of John Brown, the abolitionist. And of course, it's acted out. But they threw in a line of dialogue. He's screaming and yelling the entire show because he was a firebrand, John Brown. And he says, "This country will never be right until we address the challenge of slavery." Now, of course, that is modern times script writing. Okay, but the fact of the matter is, it applied. If someone had said that in 1853, bloody Kansas and all that, I can't remember the exact year. Okay, we've never addressed this, and the time has come. Okay, and everybody has to realize that. And social studies and geography. I'm going to say this, even though I am an old social studies teacher. Okay, it's more important than ever now, especially this year being an election year. Okay, we have to get these points across, and we have to do it right. Am I correct? Do you agree with me, Dr. Paskin?
I do agree with you, and I think
Thanks, pal.
That, you know, But you know, more importantly, you know, we're trying to create a program between us, and so, you know, we have three professional associations coming together for this program, and you know, we've tried to create it in an affordable way where, you know, students, retirees, friends of social studies, anyone can come, and especially we know for those who can't always make it to a conference, it's hard to travel, it's hard to get out of school. You know, this is a program we hope you take advantage of because the topics we're collectively talking about this year in law-related education, in geography, in history, these are really important topics. We are really proud of all of our presenters this year that are going to be coming and really not just advancing social justice through their work, but also putting the focus on, you know, why social studies really is the foundation, why geography is the foundation, why law-related education is the foundation for these conversations and these changes to happen in our curriculum. We can do this together, and that's why we encourage everyone. We're not limited by our geography or our ability to come to a conference. Everyone can participate and be a part of this really important this important theme for this year.
Absolutely, and you all heard me. I think at the beginning, I'm president. We've changed our company. We are the American Consortium for Equity in Education. ace@ace-ed.org, and all of these things that we're talking about, pardon my voice, I have a cold, all of these things we're talking about, okay, have to do with equity, and that is the number one challenge, and besides getting kids back in school, that's the number one challenge these days, okay? You're all invited to join our consortium, everybody listening, plus my guests at ace-ed.org, but that's what this is about. And that's what we're talking about is equity, advancing social justice, making rigorous curriculum. You're going to learn how to do that makes for a society and a school system that that believes in equity. I got to tell you. Okay. And now I'm going to go over, if I may, and I want to get back to you, all of you, in a minute, but I want to get Frank on. Frank, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now this American Bar Association, I'll have a Bombay Sapphire Martini straight up with two olives in, two on the side. Is that the kind of bar we're talking about?
Not at the moment, but I'm happy to talk with you about that later as well.
Maybe 5 p.m. Okay, maybe at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, maybe
so. Which bar association are you talking about with the American Bar Association, if not my Bombay Sapphire Martini? Tell me about what you guys do.
Right. The American Bar Association, of course, is the National Association for Lawyers, and it's the largest bar association, I believe, in the world, actually. It has 400,000 members about mostly across the country, some in other places as well. And a lot of what it has to do is with the professional things that lawyers do, and also judges and courts and things like that. But there is an important a goal that the American Bar Association has that aims at helping the public understand the rule of law. And to help do that, many years ago, it created a division for public education, which has the mission to advance public understanding of law and the legal system. And for a number of decades, going back however far you want to count, almost a century now, actually, if you're taking the earliest examples, the Bar Association has supported all kinds of programs that help, that do public outreach, sometimes to public audiences, sometimes to K-12 teachers, students, audiences, and other groups to help people understand law and the legal system. And and the way that it shapes our liberties and freedoms, as a matter of fact, the motto of the ABA is defending liberty and pursuing justice. So I think that probably fits pretty well with your goals as well, Larry.
No, it does indeed. I mean, believe me, you know, of course, I was just kidding. I knew it wasn't a martini-oriented association, okay? And I know how important this is.
But that's
a great way
to get people's attention.
It certainly is, and I hope I did that, okay? But I'm really anxious to talk to you further and learn all the wonderful things. You guys must have all kinds of things that you can offer to K-12 educators, which brings me, what role are you going to play at the conference? Okay, again, the combined conference of NCGE and NCSS.
Right. So for a number of years, going back about 40 years now, the division has held a somewhat annual, not quite annual, conference called the National Law-Related Education Conference.
Cool.
And it brought together practitioners in the field of law-related education, and as well as educators, teachers, and others. In recent years, we would hold this conference. So we have a small staff. It's 10 people and a number of other projects. So it was a major investment of time and effort for us for a conference. And it was much smaller than NCSS. We would have 125, 150 attendees every year, which isn't half bad, but not very many teachers. And so when I got wind that Larry and Charlie, what they were cooking up, ran into Larry somewhere, and I said, I'd like to talk about potentially having us fold the NLRE conference, National Law-Related Education Conference, into NCSS to co-locate and collaborate and see the ways that we could work together. We went to NCSS every year to present the types, as the ABA, as the division, the types of resources, materials that we have available for particularly K-12 social studies teachers in this case. So we were involved every year anyway. And what we were able to do was work out a way for us to collaborate in some of the scheduling, to bring some of the contacts or some of the things that we were able to do in terms of programming for this particular conference. Actually, more of it's going to be on display next year when we're hopefully we'll be back in person. But that was some of the thinking. And what part of what we get out of it at the ABA, at the division, is Larry, thank God, that takes care of all of the registration and hotels and all of the administrative stuff. So that was a big load off of our plate. But then we also get to take advantage of the audience of 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 teachers, however many are able to register.
There's going to be more this year because it's virtual.
And as Larry said earlier, one of the really great things is the opportunity to share conference content throughout the year. So we might make at a typical NCSS conference, we might make a direct contact with maybe 300 teachers. And I think the opportunity here now is to have contact with multiples of that number over the course of several months. So that is just a really thrilling opportunity for us. And to also to kind of highlight law-related education, which within the broader kind of fields of civic education and social studies that maybe wasn't as recognized when the conferences were separate.
Right. I think it's wonderful. And how do people find you on the web? And we do want them to go to the conference, but I just want to direct educators to where the Bar Association's education side is. Where is that on the web so they can go there? Frank?
If you go to the AmericanBar.org and search public ed, you'll find it. I'm drawing a blank on our short URL.
Don't worry about that. People can just Google.
AmBar.org/public ed. And then they'll find us. But a Google of public ed, ABA public ed, will find it.
Perfect. Google American Bar Association Division of Public Education, and you'll find it. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, okay?
That's okay. And I should have this memorized.
It's all right. Don't be ridiculous. Okay. But, this is really key, and it's good stuff. And there's another side I want to bring to this. And I don't know the answer to this, Frank. And, I talk a lot about equity and all that. What is the percentage of I don't know if you know this, of African-American and Latino lawyers amongst all the lawyers in the United States? Do you have that number by any chance? Is it higher or higher?
I don't have that number. My guess is it's probably lower than – I could get that for you, though. It's two things. One is it's probably below the percentage that they are overall in the population, and we could figure that out for you. But that is one of the things that is incredibly important within the ABA. There is a center for diversity. It's been a major push by the ABA going back decades. And there is, and I can share this with you later, there is a page of diversity resources that the ABA has put up just in the last few months.
Excellent.
And it's there to help encourage diversity in the profession, but also to address these really important questions of racial justice that, you know, have really come to the fore in the last 5 months. I mean, they've been there all along, but the ABA has, beyond the division for public education, a lot of resources to address these topics, and I'd be thrilled to share those with you.
We're going to share them on a show at some point very soon in the future. But you understood the point I was driving at. We need more students of color, okay, in K-12 to understand the opportunity that could await them, okay, if they choose law as a profession. But if you're totally unfamiliar with that, you're not going to do that. Okay, so we got to open that door as well, and that's part and parcel of what we're doing here, and I just think that's so darn important, you know, for everything that we look for, we look to do here, besides just understanding about the law and all the wonderful things that fits into public education. All excellent, gang. I want to get back to a few more things. Larry, who are going to be the keynote speakers? Larry Paska of NCSS. Keynote speakers, I should say.
We have some very, very strong speakers this year. We're very pleased on Friday afternoon to welcome Chelsea Clinton. We honored her book last year with our Satima Clark Book Award, and so we're having her speak to us Friday. We have Ken Burns. We have Nicole Hannah-Jones, who's published the 1619 Project through the New York Times. We have George Takei, Samantha Power. George Takei will actually be joined by Karen Korematsu, who's spoken at our conference before. We're also going to be having an election debrief forum featuring Chuck Todd. Frank brought in Simon Tam to speak on behalf of the law-related education focus of our conference. So, you know, we have all of our speakers are currently listed online on socialstudies.org/conference. But I'm really proud of this lineup. Many of these are speakers we had already confirmed for our in-person events, and they were able to join us virtually.
Yeah, great.
But I think also too, when you hear some of these names and others that are joining us, we're again focusing on our theme of advancing social justice, but also, you know, taking a look at multiple perspectives that make up the social studies and a lot of the topical issues that are important to educators right now, but also thinking through, you know, the implications of, you know, kind of our post-election and looking at how we make the instructional and curricular changes that we know we need to keep social studies at the forefront of the conversation in public in American education.
I'm glad you said that, and I'm not against STEM, neither are you. Okay, science, technology, engineering, math, they are so darn important, but we have let social studies go, let civics go, let geography go, let all those things go for the sake of STEM, and that was a grave error. And we are going to be paying the price of that for a long time unless we start making changes now, okay? And that's why I keep saying this year, social studies, geography, more important than ever, okay? We cannot afford to let those go by the wayside. I know I speak as a ex-social studies teacher, but I'm telling you, this is, everybody's got to know we pay the price. Okay, and we have to take all sides into consideration, okay, bring everything out there and not be scared to talk about this stuff and make sure people understand it. Larry, I got to ask you, and maybe Charlie wants to join in too, what's been the craziest part of organizing a virtual conference? The craziest part.
Oh, goodness. I don't know
what
if I would say
mind?
Crazy. I don't
say
know
it.
That I would call
can,
it crazy.
Yeah.
You. I would say it's just this understanding that this really is a professional learning program done in a completely different way. You really throw the rules out the window of conferences because, you know, when you think about it, again, you're not bound by where you're living. So so if you can't access coming to a physical conference, no worries. You don't have to fly. We've got you covered. If you miss that session, you know, again, we have 200 plus hours of content. If you miss a session, no worries. You can go back and view it later and use it later. The fact that, again, we have three organizations together, you know, as one virtually, you know, we're overwhelming you with choice. But I know that, you know, being face-to-face is so important for networking, so important for connecting, so important for that random idea sharing that conferences are so vital for. And yet at the same time, people are saying to us, I just, you know, I appreciate the content. You know, your organizations collectively have world-class content, but I often miss things. And I think that the crazy part about it is really helping that understanding that you're not limited anymore to,
yeah,
I missed the 3 o'clock session Friday. You can go back to it. And we as associations, as organizations, are going to keep working together to promote this idea that you didn't miss the conference, even if it's 2 months later. You still can access, you still can take advantage of. And we're also, again, very proud of our speakers. We're proud of our presenters coming up. We're proud of our sponsors who are working to create a virtual experience that we think is going to just really, really move the needle on and advance education forward at a critical time.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. I got to tell you, and, you know, that is probably the craziest thing that comes out of this. I bet Charlie would agree that suddenly you realize, although it seems like a challenge and a big disaster, it actually has to be seen as an opportunity. Okay, that's the way we can look at it. From this mess of the pandemic, the vast amount of lemons that have been thrown in our face, maybe we can make a little bit of lemonade here and reach a lot more people, etc. Charlie, what were your thoughts on that?
Well, one of the unique things for the NCGE annual conference has always been the Thursday before the conference starts, the day before, we have field trips. So a lot of our teachers and educators will come in and they'll do field trips on the ground in the city or the region where we're holding it. So that was a challenge at the beginning. And what we're doing this year, which is kind of exciting, is we're holding that Thursday before virtual field trips using different platforms. And so a teacher can sign up ahead and that Thursday before the conference, so they're not missing any of the sessions. They can attend. They can go on these virtual guided field trips. What's exciting about that is we're no longer limited to just a particular city or a small region. We're just starting it this year. There's a lot we're doing this year that we've been sort of forced to because of the pandemic that I think we're probably going to expand upon and carry forward in the future, regardless of having a physical location and an in-person. So I think we're going to have, we're learning a lot, and I'm pretty excited about this, about where we're heading. And the number one thing to me is the accessibility. The accessibility. The cost is, in the past, you'd have airfare and room and board and restaurants. Here, it's half the price for admission, twice the content and the sessions. And, like you said, it's good and bad, but you don't have to leave your living room.
You have to look at it as an opportunity. Yeah, of course, you're not going to be able to network and give old friends hugs and
mm-hmm,
all that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you're not going to be able
right,
to have that
right.
martini with friends. Yeah, that's painful. So I'll have the martini by myself, okay, and hug myself. But the point is a lot more people are going to be able to attend. And one last thing, I guess I'll ask Larry Paska this. You did mention there is going to be an exhibit hall virtual, right? We got about 2 minutes left. About the virtual
yes,
exhibit hall?
Yes, we have a virtual exhibit hall. Yes, we do have a virtual exhibit hall. We're proud of bringing a lot of exhibitors in the space. And there actually will be dedicated time each day for attendees to connect with our exhibitors. So you don't, again, have to miss that session because you want to get to the exhibit hall or miss the exhibitor because you want to race to a session. You'll have the chance to do both.
Right. It's cool. And I'll tell you something from another conference I was talking to, and they are running they gave their exhibitors a chance to do mini commercials before each session. So, like, the so-and-so company is sponsoring this session. The XYZ company is sponsoring this. And a 30-second little blurb with the guy standing there saying, here's what we have to offer. Come visit us, that sort of thing. I thought it was a good idea, so I'll pass it on. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It is a good idea. Okay, so I like that one. You are all – I was going to say you guys are great, and you are, but the superstar was Stephanie. Steph, you're the best. Okay.
Oh, thanks, Larry.
You're welcome.
We are all a good team. I will say that I really enjoyed working with our partners. So I can't leave without saying thank you to all of our partners as well.
Oh, it's nice. Thank you, Steph. So you're always welcome here. You know that. And Jerry, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you, sir. Go Gamecocks.
Pleasure as well. I'm happy to be able to have the forum to talk to a larger audience about how important geography is today.
And I'm always happy to talk about training geography teachers. If you want to get in touch with me, Larry and Charlie know where I am. Frank, you're going to get – let me give you my email, everybody. It's edutalklarry, edutalklarry@gmail.com. edutalklarry@gmail.com. Get in touch with me, okay? Charlie, you know you're always welcome here, my friend. Good luck with everything you're doing, okay?
Thank you so much for hosting this once again. We appreciate your support.
And you're always welcome here. And Dr. Pasca, as always, who we each refer to each other as the other Larry, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, as always. We appreciate it.
Okay, it's great. Good luck with everything. Thank you all. Have a great day. And please stay
safe.
Thanks,
Larry.
Thanks, gang. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Take
care. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Okay.
Bye.
Wow, good folks. Thank you. Okay, I think I've got everybody out of here. Yes, I do. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. Everything's archived under the icon at ace-ed.org. While you're there, look at our magazine. You'll love it. Okay, it's right there, online journal. It's great, called Equity and Access. Just click right through. Join our consortium. Everything we do over there is free. We want to hear your voice in equity. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Go over to socialstudies.org or the National Council for Geography Educators website. Check it all out. The Bar Association has great stuff, too, for educators. Thanks for listening, everybody.